Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. This is a special edition with our guest, Stefan Benson. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. Got a couple of the bad boys here with me and a special guest, Simon Street. What's up, man?
So I'm a special guest now?
You're not the special guest. Oh, you're the okay. Bad boy.
Oh, I'm a bad man. Yes, how's everybody doing today?
Good. Matt Michaels, what's up, man?
Time to play a game.
Okay.
Not that game, man. That's outlawed in this state. You can't do that no more.
Damn. Our special guest from Los Angeles, Raven, with us. How you doing, man?
I'm the special guest. I'm sitting in the rumor has it chair, so I am going to just...
It's a throne.
The throne. The Smarkville or whatever you guys call it.
Right.
Ready to flush you down that throne, brother.
Just don't Cody me with the throne.
Right. Well, look, man, we got a special guest also on our line. He is the WWE 2K19 Million Dollar Challenge winner, Stefan Benson. How are you, Stefan?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome.
So I guess the first question is, are you looking to fund a podcast?
That is a good try. I've had a lot of that over the past year.
I tell you what, you'll get a better return with us than a thought in the street. Just putting it out there.
dollar, holla, holla.
Actually, I think the first question is, according to my 23andMe, I believe you and I are related.
Wow.
So, wow.
You better bring that paperwork.
Yes. I have the paperwork. And according to this paperwork that I have in my hand right now, I'm reading it, and it says you and I are related. So, I can fly back out here to Vegas, and you can come to Vegas, and you know, I enjoy a nice meal.
There you go.
At the Cracker Barrel.
Security.
You've literally just changed the whole meaning of hook a brother up.
For real.
Wow. Oh, I know. I caught on to it.
So, what got you into gaming in general, man?
My siblings, my brothers, my cousins, they all, you know, got into video games initially, and then slowly but surely after I went through my toy phase, and I switched over to video games, and my first system was a original Nintendo for my birthday.
Awesome.
And, you know, of course my brother got the Super Nintendo, so I was like, somehow I know I got screwed or cheated here, but all right, I still got a system. I'll take it. I was young, but I'm not stupid. and it just kind of never looked back. You know, I started out playing things like, you know, Mario and Duck Hunt, and then, progressed to the wrestling games, because the only time I played the wrestling games was out at the arcade, and they had them on the arcade systems, which was pretty cool. Then moved all over from that to Sega, and then from Sega... moved to Nintendo 64, and then from that to PlayStation 1, and then PS2, and so on, and so we are here where we are today on Xbox One and PS4, respectively.
Let me quickly ask you on that first Nintendo, what was your favorite game? Because for me, it was Kung Fu.
I mean, we were kind of broke then, so I had Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, and I was fine with it. Yeah. I would cheat and walk right up to the damn screen and just start shooting.
I think we all did that.
So, you know, Stefan, what do you have now? Are you a Xbox guy or a PS4 guy?
Well, I have all three main systems, but I'm Xbox guy through and through. PlayStation for its exclusives, and that's it.
Okay. And so the third system, obviously, are you talking about Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
So what are you playing with on the Switch?
On the Switch, New Super Mario Brothers, Part 2.
Okay.
Donkey Kong Country.
Okay.
I'm playing The Raven, which is like a mystery-based story-type game. I like very story-rich games and story-driven games.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense, you know, with regards to... Actually, here's my question. So, playing the 2K games, obviously you've played them for quite a long time because your pedigree is on pro level. Do you feel that with the new iterations of the games that you'd like to see something more involved with storytelling?
I think when they initially switched over to 2K, THQ to 2K, they, you know, introduced the My Career mode. I believe that was on 2K15, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had minimal voiceovers, and that was my issue. I love voiceovers. I don't want to revert back to text, and I know for a couple of years we did, and I understand, you know, from a game developing standpoint, it takes time to implement that. It has nothing to do with it being on PlayStation, Xbox, or PC. They got to make sure if they're going to do it, they do it right and it runs properly on the hardware that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, it was a little disappointing. I was like, man, I was hoping for voiceovers, but I learned to get used to the text again, the PlayStation 2 type of day with storytelling, then I was fine with it. And then when 2K19 came around and they reintroduced a fully voiced over story mode, minus whoever that was voicing John Cena, I had no idea who that was. I was like, what? I don't even know what that is, but no, I thought that was a fantastic story, and that's what we were lacking for so many years, you know, not dogging the 2K series at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we were lacking in terms of storytelling. The voiceovers add that extra depth, you know, and when I was up in New York for the challenge, I, you know, was talking to some of the people from 2K, and I said, what you always want your consumers and your fans to be immersed almost completely into the product that you were bringing to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, they're going to tell their friend. They're going to tell their friend, and then it's going to be a demanded title. Not to say that it is not already, but even in more demand. You know, you want to be to the point where it's sold out, much like the GTA series.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get to that level. It's fantastic, but, you know, numbers are numbers. I know there are a lot more people, I believe, that buy Grand Theft Auto, and if that's not more so the case, there's a lot more people that play it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the replay value. The wrestling games, in my opinion, have plenty of replay value. Even before the challenge, I play all year long. I don't play for the first 3 or 4 months, and I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'll wait for next year's.
Right.
I'm too much of a fan. I enjoy playing it. I have a little wrestling league on there called Elite Wrestling Championships. Started it back on Nintendo 64.
Nice.
So... I just recently got a championship made to represent that.
Awesome.
Wow.
Nice. So with all this, obviously you're a big wrestling fan. So
mm-hmm.
How old are you actually?
I'm 31, but you know, you can just say I'm 21. We'll go with that.
Well, you know, there you go. You have $1 million check, so you can be however old you want.
Mm-hmm.
But so...
Yeah, man, in the ladies' eyes, you're as good as old as your money is good, you know?
you'll be naching.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, wow.
You'll be naching every night.
Yeah.
But, so when did you start watching pro wrestling?
Oh, well, in terms of understanding what it actually was, about 4 or 5 years old, but I've been in front of the TV watching wrestling since I was home from the hospital when I was born. There's pictures of me, literally my dad's watching me, more so he's making the TV watch me while he watched wrestling. And the rest is history from there. I mean, I watched it since I was born, understood since about 4 or 5, and just got more and more into it, and absolutely love pro wrestling in general, like all pro wrestling. Obviously, WWE has always been the main and always will be. When WCW was around, I remember my dad said we're going to wrestling, and I'm thinking it's Raw because Raw was in Philly. He's like, no, we're going to Nitro. I was like, I don't want to go see that crap. But me as a little kid, I said, I want to go see Kane and The Undertaker. Ain't nobody got time for that boring stuff that they're doing over there. But that was just me. So
obviously you lived through the Attitude Era, and then I believe it's when...
Even before that, yeah.
Yeah, the Attitude Era eventually changed into, I guess we could call it, the video game era, because now, you know, it's all about a lot of the talent just go back to their hotels and play video games. You know, obviously Xavier Woods is probably the top of that with his YouTube channel, and then obviously he's Ryder and Hawkins and Miz, and then
Sasha Banks plays it.
Yeah, Sasha and Bailey, and then you go to other companies like Kenny Omega and so on, or big gamers themselves. So you are actually involved in wrestling on the indie level as a ring announcer?
Yes, I am a ring announcer. I recently gotten, within the past 3 to 4 years, gotten a refereeing, although it's something I've trained for in the past. I didn't really get into it until recent because, you know, my passion in particular is ring announcing, using my voice. So whether I'm interviewing, whether I'm doing commentary or voiceovers, as you all heard earlier, so.
So what's your dream job?
My dream job is to become a ring announcer for WWE. However, I can do so much more than that now. Whether I'm on, you know, whether I'm at the Performance Center or NXT or Raw or SmackDown or live events, whatever they need me to do, I'm their guy. You know, anything using my voice. I used to manage, when I first started out my wrestling career, a little over 10 years ago, I managed the Nigerian Nightmare. So I could be a fantastic heel manager, could be a fantastic face. It just, whatever they need, I will make sure that it is done to the best of my ability with exceeds expectations.
I think,
period, point blank, no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I think that here's the angle you take. You try to get in as a ring announcer, but you offer a special skill that no one else has that ties into what we were just talking about with all these talents, and that is you can video game coach these guys on the road, and no one else can do that.
They do tournaments.
Exactly. No one else can do that, and especially if Sasha's like, hey, I want to take down Ryder. How, you know, give me the inside scoop. It's like,
if I train people, the matches would literally go on for at least 30 minutes.
If
I would train every single person, the matches go on. The matches that go on now just in my house alone when we're doing our little pay-per-views, sometimes a singles match, even if it's one pinfall to a finish, can go on for 30 minutes because we're breaking out of submissions, we're breaking out of pinfalls, kicking out of pinfalls. So I teach people severe patience. It can be frustrating to allow somebody to beat you down, but sometimes you have to because there's certain perks you will get in the game, in match, that will pay off as long as you time everything right, from your reversals to what moves you do, and choose the proper move in the match. Certain moves will put you at a severe disadvantage if reversed. Major mid-move reversals, it puts a negative debuff on your character. And when it does that debuff, you're not able to reverse for an X amount of time. So let's just say you're going for the last ride. You get me up on your shoulders, and then that little reversal prompt pops up. If I hit it in enough time, you're screwed. If I don't, as long as my stamina is enough for me to grab or strike you, you're screwed for the next maybe 30 seconds to 1 minute, just about. And then there's another ability on the game, a low blow ability. Dirty move. Now, obviously, in Extreme Rules matches, it's, you know, anything goes. But if the ref catches you, you get DQ'd. If it doesn't, that's about a minute and a half, 2 minutes that you can't reverse.
Wow.
You literally have to take that damage. So unless they do a move and you're near the ropes and you can roll out, you're effed. Wow. It's happened to me before. So I'm just like, ah, crap. Well, this is going to be fun.
So in theory, you could technically be the Performance Center of video games,
basically.
At least WWE 2K games.
Yes, I could. Not saying that there are not other people that are very well acquainted with the game the way I am, but to almost the extent that I am, but I put that extra bit of attention to detail and what you know you need to do. But all the people that I've trained, they give me run for my money. I'm not saying that I have not been defeated. I have been. It's very rare, but I have been. If you beat me, that's saying something. But I mean, beat me legit, where you don't have to cheat or glitch. My hat's off to you, because I'm a tough bastard when it comes to that game. I don't like to lose, but then again, who does? And I will do anything within the rules and confines of a game, just playing locally on a system or a tournament or whatever it may be, to win. I do what it takes to win within the rules and within respect to those rules.
So, you know,
so you
hearing exactly how you're breaking down the game, you know, I, too, have been playing wrestling games since, you know, going into Walmart's in 1993 and seeing an arcade machine right before you get outside and playing WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I remember those days. I was never really good at it until many, many years later, SmackDown came out for the PS1, really got into that. I feel like honestly, if I had the money and knew people like I know now, I probably could have tried to pursue a pro career. Now, when the 2K games came out, I got a reality check that I am really not good, but I'm good enough. It just is what it is. Now, we have
boot
some...
Boot to face.
Yeah, more than boot to face. Boot to face and the other boot in the ass is bad. It's just horrible. Now, with the last iterations of the game, I've gotten a little bit better and whatnot. I would like to up my level, okay? So my question to you is there somebody who's not here? He is a wicked person in this game. His name is King Lucky, and we played about a year ago, and he whooped my ass. I got like, I think it was out of like five matches. I won one, and he just beat the shit out of me. And
PlayStation or Xbox?
It was Xbox at the time. I've now switched over to PlayStation. But
King Lucky, I don't know if I faced him or not, but okay, go on.
Yeah. He beat the shit out of me. He brings it up all the time. Yeah, all the time. Like, he just brings it up. I want to get some revenge, all right? I want to let him know that it ain't going to happen this year when the new game comes out. What would you suggest for me?
Well, first I'm going to ask you this. When you all faced each other, did you use your created stars or people from the game without modded movesets?
I know for me...
Meaning you didn't modify anything, you didn't edit the moveset, basically.
No. We only use just the basic characters, non-mod.
Okay, because one problem I run into a lot is when I face people online, if I lose, be it, you know, if it's one-on-one or in a multiple-man match, most of the time, if I lose, it's because somebody has, you know, created a character, and not so much the created character as it is the moves. Because obviously, as with any game, whether it's wrestling, whether it's Call of Duty or NBA or Madden, there are glitches, and there are moves that either are broken or that, you know, need to be patched, need to be fixed. People will modify their movesets, created or otherwise on the game that can shift, and will use the most unfair exploits that they can, and that's when you lose. Now, as far as people from the game, choose a specific few people, maybe, let's just say, actually, say about three or four people, that you practice their movesets, you practice, you know, you learn about the reversals, how many that they have, the stamina and speed, and, you know, the grappling speed. There's a whole lot that goes into a character when designing it. So I could choose somebody like Big Show, and I'm facing you, but you're AJ Styles. You're naturally going to be quicker than me, quicker grabbing, quicker striking. I'm going to be a lot slower. So it depends on who you pick. When you face them, who did he pick and who did you pick?
Well, I actually picked AJ Styles, if I remember one match, and he picked... I'm trying to remember who he picked. God dang. Oh, he picked Corbin.
Class also matters.
Yeah, he picked Corbin.
Corbin?
Yeah.
Okay,
I remember that was
so,
one time he picked Corbin.
Not to say that it's not possible, obviously, for Corbin to beat AJ and vice versa. but he is a... He goes on the game. I believe he's either a heavyweight or a super heavyweight.
I think he's a heavyweight at
so
the time.
So he's going to... Because AJ is a light heavyweight, you're going to get damaged a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. And it also comes down to also choosing the proper wrestler. Like, if you're good enough, then you can pretty much win with anybody for the most part on the game. But those overalls and those weight classes play a serious factor. There's no way I'm going to have somebody get into a match with me, no matter how good they are. They can be one of the quote-unquote top players in the world. You choose somebody, like, let's just say, on the game as well overall. I don't know. Let's just say I'm... Big Show and you're Rey Mysterio. There's no way on God's green earth, no matter how slow I am, I'm losing. This is not the days of Nintendo 64 where you could beat Trish Stratus and beat the crap out of somebody like Kane or Undertaker. That doesn't go down anymore. Overalls definitely matter, no matter how good you are, because that'll determine how big the kickout bar is when you're trying to kick out, how easily you are or are not tapped out. And how you battle against your submissionist. And so there's a lot that goes into it. But patience, man. The number one thing is patience. So many people are impatient. I'm like, damn it, I didn't reverse. This is BS. You know, this game is cheating. First of all, the game doesn't cheat. You just didn't practice enough. That's what I look at it. That's what I look at people. The game doesn't cheat. That sounds stupid. You just did not practice enough, no matter how good you are. So get off your little high horse. I never lose. I went through that phase myself. Like, this game is BS. I never said it was cheating. I was just like, this is BS. Then I realized I was impatient. I got angry real quick, and that would be my downfall. And believe it or not, just on a quick side note, I'd like to say that the first jerk that ever glitched me was my own flesh and blood. My own brother put a Game Shark in PlayStation 2 on Shut Your Mouth. And I was starting to get really good at the game. So, but I was at that point where I'd find that those one or two moves that I'd like, that I like a lot, and start doing them. So, like Hogan, for example, on Shut Your Mouth, he had this, kind of that move. It was like an involuntary strike where you strike him and he'd point at you like he does. Mm-hmm. And I would keep doing that. So my brother, being the asshole that he is, goes and decides to put the Game Shark in. I didn't know this. He gave me money to go to the store and get us food, and I was like, yay, because I was a fat little kid, and I'm like, sure. I got back, let's play Bradshaw, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Mm-hmm. I decided to use Bradshaw in this match. He, for some reason, hates the clothesline from hell, but I always managed to hit him with it. He put in a code to have unlimited finishers and that every regular move was a finishing maneuver. I didn't know or didn't even see it. All I know is that as soon as the match started, I got my own finishing move done on me, and then he went to pin me. I'm like, oh, first of all, this is a BS, but I'm going to kick out. The ref doesn't say 1, 2, 3. The ref says 3. Ding, wow. Ding, ding. And my jaw just dropped like, are you kidding me? Did you just Montreal screw job me?
Damn. Well, now this is all making sense about this King Lucky guy. It appears that he has had modified a lot of the actual talent in the game.
This is what I've heard.
What you have explained is exactly what he has done, mm-hmm. time after time for so many years.
And now I'm wondering too, if when we played, did he have mod characters? Because I was playing online version, we weren't in the same room. They're so modified. I'm wondering if they were modified.
So
and he knew how to use.
Wait! You've never played him on the same console in the same house?
No. I think it would be totally different.
That's your issue right there. I'm sorry to cut you off. No, okay. I'm passionate about what you're saying. So, yeah, when it comes to me facing people, I will tell people, you may have the opportunity, you may get lucky and beat me online. It could be a few times, it could be one time. Face me locally on the system where there's no lag. Because I make sure, like, whether it's a PS4 Pro or Xbox mm-hmm. One X, we play on the top system with the best hardware. So then that way, there's no issues. Now, occasionally, yeah, there's a glitch on the system offline, but it happens, and we'll restart the match. But no. You face me on the system and not online, I guarantee it's not the same results, not the hell going down. I don't care how good you are. When I get you on the system, I don't need a modified moveset. I'm going to beat that ass with the regular moveset that's shipped with the game, that people call that corny moveset that people like to word it. People word it that way. Oh, the movesets are corny. That's why I don't use people from the game. And that's why you're truly ass at the game. but we're not going to go there right now.
No.
That is probably the case. Certain moves, and you may not have been aware that he may have modified the moveset so it better fit AJ, but still put moves on AJ that didn't ship when the game shipped. So, you know, it could have very well happened. If you recorded the match or had it on Twitch or something like that, I could look back at it and tell you, yeah, he modified his guy, if he did.
Wow.
I would call that. I know, when I say I know the wrestler's movesets from the first wrestler on the roster to the last, I know that I use everybody at least once to understand what their movesets basically do. So if something happens that they don't do, that didn't come with it when a game shipped, oh, you had to modify their moveset, not mod in a hacking way.
Yeah.
You know, in order to gain an advantage. I'll use the base moveset. If I win, I win. If I lose, I lose. All I know is that I did it the right way.
Mm. So let me ask you this question, then, because I really want to beat Lucky, and I think a lot of people at this table wants me to beat King Lucky,
mm-hmm.
yep. and I am the underdog because he is mighty and great, so he'll proclaim.
Will he beat his ass for you?
No. Well, you know what? As much as I'd like you to beat his ass, and you probably could beat his ass, and probably will beat his ass, I still want to beat his ass. My question is this: I have a PlayStation 4. He has an Xbox. Do I need to just rub two pennies together, buy an Xbox so I can beat him, or can I still rock my PlayStation 4, practice that way, and switch over?
you know what? You can get Xbox. You don't have to get like the Xbox One X if you don't plan on playing it like that. You're only playing for WWE to face him.
Mm-hmm.
Just get the regular the big boy Xbox, not the slimmer one, okay. And call it a day, Xbox One, and get WWE 2K20 or 2K19 for it. But you might as well wait because we're only like 3 weeks away,
mm-hmm.
Roughly, and then let that be that. And oh, here's a good thing, and I will let you know this now for 2K20 for all those listening in. Of course, it comes out on October 22nd, so make sure you pre-order now at your local video game retailer or at www.wwe.2k.com. But what's great is the online mode has lobbies back. You know, like the older games where you could create a lobby and your friends could join, and it would have, like, this is a Fatal 4-Way, you know, with, you know, either male superstars or cruiserweight superstars only, or however you set it up. You can also have the option to have what's called fair play. That means no BS modifications. Beat me straight up with the base character from the game. So if he wants to face you, face me with a fair fight. With that way, you can't modify anything. And what I want you to do is record the match if you can,
mm-hmm.
or even if you have to record it with your phone, play it back for me sometime, and I can tell you if the moveset is modded.
I will set it up for a live stream.
Avoid doing a fair fight.
I will set it up for a live stream and send you in a request to view it as it's going on.
And then that sounds.
I'll call bullshit as I see it. I swear to God, wow. I will.
My man.
I'm like, he's cheating. He's garbage.
Can't
quit the match right now.
Can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit, or however they say it. But
that's true. And one more thing before we move on. I will say that while generally, yes, a win is a win, and you're only, quote-unquote, as good as your last match, it depends. That saying is not as easy as you say, because you can get a lucky win over anybody, no matter how good they are, but then that second match, they trash the crap out of you. I have to govern my words accordingly. Trash the crap out of you, and you know, that's that. So, they can consistently prove that they're good with people from the game with no modifications. Cool. Otherwise, go kick rocks.
Mm.
Huh. Well, based that you are headed to Vegas, I believe a personal one-on-one meet with you and whoever of this podcast would like to challenge you in person will happen, and they're going to put it up on their Vegas Bad Boy YouTube page. You know, you didn't hear it from me, but I've heard that if any of these guys, you know, beat you, that you have to buy them dinner. That's rumor has it. I'll just keep it at that. That rumor has it. And,
fine.
You know.
If one of you beats me, I'll face all of you one after another, one after another. If one of you beats me, I'll treat you out to dinner. But if I beat you, I become half owner of the podcast.
Oh, wow. You know, that may be
if
good.
You're that confident in your skill.
You know, I could probably pass that off as a acceptable challenge, because then we can have like an East Coast feed and you got the West Coast feed. It's kind of like Raw and SmackDown. You know, it's two different brands. You know, they can wear the blue shirts, you wear the red shirts, all
wait,
this.
But,
you know.
But totally, we end up
exactly.
winning.
Exactly, and you'll know with yeah, me, we end up everything winning. Will be legit.
Yeah, we end up winning because of the fact that if... you happen to win, and I say happen, meaning you are going to win, then if you own half of us, that means that the money flow is there.
Oh, you didn't hear the fine print and the fine words.
Okay. I'm sorry.
There's the fine print and the fine words. I own half. I can do whatever I want, but y'all still pay for everything because you got head.
There's a bad connection going on here. I can't hear you right now.
I'm sorry.
Well, you are the $1 million man, so I guess everyone does have a price. But
I tell you what, I just really want to be good at the game and try to you know, compete, whether it's a pro level or whatnot. I think that would be great to learn that. So
honestly, I believe this podcast is airing maybe the day before the game goes on sale, or so. I got to check with the scheduling department. They don't work on the weekends, but I'll contact them tomorrow. But I believe this podcast is actually airing when the next game comes out. We are actually running short on time, but I do want to say, first of all, that I really do want to bring you back probably around December or January after the game has been out for a month or two to talk more about the current game, 2K20. Obviously, the commercials are great. We've had Steve Islas on I'm sure you, I know you've met him.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, I want to go a little bit deeper next time into your life in the pro wrestling biz. Obviously, growing up in Philadelphia, being in Philadelphia, there's so much to talk about. Real quick, were you able to attend the ECW events that happened
in Philly? I was never, believe it or not, even as a wrestling fan, I was never an ECW fan.
Wow.
Because when I, at that age, like, you know, I was at the height, you know, we were at the height of the Attitude Era, so, you know, or just as it started, and, you know, my same situation with that I mentioned with you about WCW. My dad said we were going to go see ECW, and I was just upset and angry because I didn't want to go there. I'm like, WWF is in town. That's what I want to see. Nothing against ECW. Don't get me wrong. It's just that the more violent product did not appeal to me. I liked what I saw in WWF.
Okay.
Always have.
Quick question. Back to the video game real quick. What type of match that has not been in the game do you want to see in the game eventually?
Sheesh.
Because I
don't know if the mechanics would work well for it, but, and it's a WCW match, but I would love to see it since they own them, that, I don't know what's called, World War III with the
war
three
games.
Cages on top of one another?
War Games.
Oh, the triple cage of
yeah, War Games.
But War Games
no.
The triple,
oh,
with the one on top.
No, not War Games. He said the triple cage of terror.
Oh. It's like there's a Hell in a Cell, and then there's a mini cell on that, and then
yeah,
there's a third
yeah.
one on that.
That
and
actually,
if you get to that, you win the championship.
Yeah, that actually started in Texas with the USWA, and then it was brought over.
NWA ran it.
I remember Kevin Sullivan was in it.
The Road Warriors.
Mike Rotundo, the Road Warriors, Freebirds, the Doctor of that. Yeah.
Yeah,
interesting. The one I bug Steve about the most, and I think this is very easy to do. I would assume I don't make games, but I would assume stretcher matches.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Just take a back to somebody and beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, you know, put them on a stretcher. Because, I mean, you can do a last man standing match, and you can lay someone on a table. So, you know, I'm thinking if you can lay someone on a table, just put some wheels on it and roll them across the line. You know, I bug Steve every year. I'm like, it's a stretcher match in this game. He's like, not this year. I'm like,
well, if that's the case, you can do a, a casket match.
True.
I think
bring the casket match back. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think they have had casket matches.
No, they have in the past.
Now,
but I'm saying like doing it now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I will say this is the one thing that I really wish that this year. That they'll implement. Now, while you can have up to eight characters in the ring, minus the referee, that would be nine, but eight actual characters, you can have six of those characters be human players. Why not just add the extra two? And, you know, because both PlayStation and Xbox allow you to connect up to, I think, seven or eight controllers, and that way you can do as close to a Survivor Series elimination match as possible. You can have your four best versus my four best, for ownership of your company, but that's not the point.
let me ask you this one last question. As with a lot of games that are coming out now, obviously, you know, like Fortnite and whatnot, the one thing common thread that I'm seeing is cross-play, cross-save. Is that something you'd like to see in 2K games, not counting the Switch? Obviously, it operates on a different type of system.
I would absolutely love to see crossplay, and I'm thinking the reason, and this is just a guess, maybe that one of the reasons they have not been as generous with information yet this year, maybe that's going to be like a big reveal where we have crossplay, you know, community creations are crossed, you can, you know, someone on Xbox can play someone on PlayStation, as you were saying, and same with like PC. That would be great. That would be a true who's who of WWE games. Not that, like, I play on both, but without having to have both systems and buy an extra copy. But I understand from a business aspect why they do that. But yeah, crossplay would be phenomenal. I would love that.
Real quick, obviously the tournament was great. You went through it. You know, you won the whole challenge. I met you really quick WrestleMania weekend. Saw you real quick in LA recently. And we joked earlier about, you know, winning the $1 million and so forth. What, just tell me real quick, what's one great thing you bought, you know, either for yourself or for your family, you know, with that money?
I'll take a couple of things and I'll be as quick as possible. Mm-hmm. My mother and father helped them out right away. My mother was diagnosed with cancer last year or a little earlier last year. Mm-hmm. So I made sure that she was good. She just had surgery and only went through three treatments. So right now she seems to be good and I hope that it stays that way. My dad is about to have, well, should be about to have surgery. He has a tumor in his neck. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed that it's, you know, nothing cancerous and that they can do it. It's about a 97-98% of succession, so should be fine, but he's just, he's hard-headed. But that's what it is. I've just been helping him, making sure they're good. Believe it or not, I was almost homeless before this tournament. I almost lost my home, the home that I was living in. It's just, unfortunately, it was back taxes. It wasn't, you know, when it wasn't anything that I caused. I just, you know, I'd taken over from a family member, and I didn't have a job at the time. I was renting my rooms out, trying to make ends meet, and the tournament just came at the right time. Was, you know, the announcement that I made in just came at the right time, because I would have been, I literally would have been homeless. So that's why I tell people, I said, WWE makes dreams come true, and they changed my life.
Wow, that's truly amazing, which even makes me want you back on the show even more. Thankful you didn't become a money mark and try to create your own promotion or anything like that.
No, I ain't stupid. WWE is all I need. I'm good.
Yeah, we'll leave the money mark issues to Tony Khan. But anyways, real quick, so you're strictly WWE. Do you watch any thoughts on what the AEW folks
I have no problem with AEW or any other promotions. It's just my main focus has always been WWE, but I hope they do great. I hope AEW does great. Impact does well, and, you know, there's NGPW, ROH, there's Evolve. I hope pro wrestling in general does great. I'm a fan of it. I've been to, you know, other pro wrestling shows, obviously, working independents, and I enjoy the hell out of them. And that's being a true wrestling fan, but through and through, I'm a WWE faithful. But yeah, thoughts on AEW? I have not seen their first couple of shows, but I do plan to watch them. I heard they were great. I've seen clips, and it looked fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they have to offer on a weekly basis and everything like that. And I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. They have a lot of great talent over there, a lot of great people in charge. And, you know, as long as the prop business decisions and talent decisions are made, they're going to flourish.
And Kenny Omega, being the gamer that he is, he may want to challenge you for some cash, because, you know, if AEW goes out of business, he may need a few bucks.
I mean, I'll just say this to him now. Mr. Omega, if you ever want to challenge me on a 2K WWE game, I'd be glad to give you these hands. You want to challenge me on No Mercy? Catch these hands.
Ooh,
wow. SmackDown versus Raw? Catch these hands. Shut your mouth. Here comes the pain. Catch these hands. Day of Reckoning. Amazing game, mind you. Catch these hands. Whether you love it, Mr. Omega, or whether you hate it, you damn sure will tune in to see it, because I am what I say I am on WWE Games, and it is the Golden Gamer, and you can bank on that.
Wow, just cut a promo on Kenny Omega right here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm going to make sure he sees and hears this, because I'll tell you what, Kenny Omega only has $2. Their name is Nick. And you have $1 million. So my friend, yes, definitely. I hope all goes well for your family. Hopefully the holidays are great for you. We are going to definitely need you to come back probably in January to talk a lot about your career, your life, at that point, and obviously the road to WrestleMania, which obviously this past WrestleMania, the road to WrestleMania was different for you than it was for a lot of other people.
True. Are you all going to be at the Royal Rumble? Because I'll be there in Houston.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know I will be. And like I said, I mean, these guys live here in Vegas. As of this recording, you said you're going to be in Vegas soon, so I'm sure they're going to catch up with you. And I'll probably catch up with you in the Rumble. And we're definitely going to bring you back in January for a follow-up interview, which will definitely be way longer, because you've blown my mind. I didn't know there was this much about you, and there is way more for, I think, the audience to want to hear.
And that's saying much, because his mind is rarely blown.
Yeah, well, he's got money.
A lot of people, the main thing is, I just like to say, a lot of people, when I won the tournament, a lot of, you know, people on the message boards are saying, you know, it was rigged, he worked for WWE. If I worked for WWE, I'll just say this to clear it up once again, because I did it on Tony Pizza Guy's podcast. It would have been a conflict of interest. I would never do that. I don't work for WWE. Do I want to? Absolutely. And one day I shall, but I do not. I'm just a normal guy who got an extraordinary opportunity. And if it wasn't me, you'd be talking the same trash about somebody else. Right. Yeah, I'm an announcer, but I've had some lucky moments to announce certain people. But, you know, I'm not afraid to take chances. That's the thing.
Yeah. So. Stefan, what is the best way if people want to get in contact with you, or maybe even your gamer tags? You know, I don't know how that works, but yes. but we get that information.
For Xbox, my screen name is Battles of Shazam. It's my favorite superhero. Battles of Shazam, exactly as it sounds. It is spelled that way. Okay. And on PlayStation, simply Real Golden Voice. On Twitch, Real Golden Voice 88. Make sure you follow. Make sure you like.
Okay.
I do constant streaming of wrestling games and other games as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man, for hanging out with us, man, and congratulations on the becoming that winner.
Thank you so much.
Vegas,
Stat Boys of podcasting,
holding you down since day one.
January 2019.
The hottest podcast in the universe.
There's like 1,000 podcasts.
Vegas Bad Boys Day One. Say
different. Thoughts. Outrageous.
Interview.
Exciting.
Interesting.
Intriguing.
Amazing.
Funny. Intergalactic.
Bad Boys.
If you haven't listened to all of our podcasts, take a listen of what you might have missed. JTG.
Chad with the big guy. Is it the same size? One is a little bit fatter, right?
Yeah.
One is cut. Yeah. One is kind of like pudgy.
Yeah, that's Angelo. Oh,
yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of similar to me, Chad. Yeah, I'm kind of like the...
Ow, Snow.
Well, yeah, I did. I actually wrote a book. I also, just so you guys know, I do magic for the blind.
Wow.
It's my way of giving back to the community, yeah. You know, let me tell you, it's like, it's like, is this your card? And it's like, I don't know. And you're like, it is. Ta-da.
Like, oh my God, Jeff Cobb.
You know, I don't plan to wrestle in my late 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s. Like, you know, and but, you know, again, I say that now, but...
Right.
it's like the weirdest addiction ever, you know? Like,
yeah, we know. B. Brian Blair.
All of a sudden, I look in the mirror, and Terry's, you know, spanking his Woody on top of the back of Coco's ass. Oh. And his pants ripped, and I'm going, oh my gosh, man, we're going to prison.
Vicky Guerrero.
You know, you are definitely, in our minds, a Hall of Famer. Because
I'll give you $5 later, guys.
Theo Landers.
How do you guys do this? Are you guys in like a recording studio, or are you guys in a home studio?
Hey, you don't contact WWE Creative and ask them how they write Raw, do you?
We're
all in a bathroom.
We're in a right bathroom. Now. Yeah, we're in a bathhouse. Right, we're
in
all
the bathtub.
You're in a bathhouse.
RVD.
If I hit a squirrel with my car, it would totally ruin my day. I mean, I would, like, I'd get out of the car and I'd try to save it, you know. And
Selena De La Renta.
When you say Selena at work, Selena in real life, it's about the same. It's a preparation for my everyday life. It's about the same my preparation for MLW. The only thing is I need twice the amount of makeup and probably tighter dresses. But
Nick Aldis.
I do love Vegas, and you know what's funny is that, like, the first time I went was actually for TNA when I debuted with the Main Event Mafia. I'd never been to Vegas before then.
Wow.
I mean, in many ways, it's really the showbiz capital of America.
Yep.
You know, like, there's so much show business going on there all the time. I just love that vibe.
Vegas Bad Boys, a podcast, has over 50 interviews, and they keep on coming. Make sure you subscribe. Keep listening. Write a review about our podcast. Come to our live event. Participate in our contest. Like our social media. And most importantly, tell all your family and friends about us. We're Vegas born, and we are Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.